Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Alan and Anika, welcome to Crypto Nights. We're just so excited to have you both as guest speakers today on our podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Fantastic. Yeah, I get very excited. You know, most of the time we have these episodes where we are talking to founders that are in either about to launch their ICO, in the middle of it, and all of that. And occasionally we have had people come back and then others who have given us updates on, you know, ICO is a thing of the past. Let me tell you what business as usual is, and we'll give you a So I actually look forward to this because at the end of the day, ICO is the beginning of the journey, not the end of it, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
But regardless, you guys were among the early ones in 2017. Congratulations. You had a successful sale September of last year. But I just wanted to hand it over to you guys to maybe give us a little bit of your personal backgrounds, backstories, and then we'll jump into Aventus.
Yeah, for sure. So this really all started out for us in university. Both Anika and I were doing our master's degree. I was doing mine in machine learning or artificial intelligence. Anika was doing particle physics. So we came from quite technical backgrounds. We'd worked on a couple of projects together already. And then when we saw Ethereum get released in late 2015, we thought this is the next big wave of blockchain and we had to be involved. We just kind of finished up our degrees. Published. I did my thesis on film rights distribution on the blockchain with BAFTA and the BBC. That we finished up sort of in June, incorporated Aventus in April 2016, moved towards a small VC round of investment at the end of that year, sort of around September time. And then we actually took a year to do our white paper, do all the prep and the build up until we eventually launched our ICO in September 2017. So very successful in a couple of minutes, hitting our target. And since then, we've really been building out the business.
Oh, that's been fantastic. Congratulations. How about you, Anika? What is your story?
Yeah. So I quite an international background, primarily Italian. Did my master's, like Alan was saying, in physics with particle physics. I was doing my thesis at CERN, looking at machine learning based decays of Higgs bosons, which is quite technical. ultimately it was quite cool because Alan and I started working together for a university project on a Bitcoin price prediction, and we were doing this kind of in 2015 when the price was around like $300 or something, which we'd kept some, but whatever. it was really good, and we started working together, and we were like, look, Ethereum started becoming, they did their sale and everything like that, and we started looking at it, and we were like, wow, this is the new internet, you know, it's going to be the next backbone of everything, and we need to get in there, and there's so many domains that can be I don't want to say disrupted, but changed by this. And yeah, we want to be a part of it. So that's kind of where we came from.
You know, what I found was it's one thing to figure out that there's a major trend going on, but it is also equally hard to find the starting point. If you rewind back to Amazon in the early days, we say, wow, what a brilliant guy in retrospect that he started off with books because books have the same shape. There's no differential in quality. I mean, you know what you're ordering for, what the price is. So in retrospect, there were 10 or 20 reasons why that was a brilliant idea, a brilliant use case, and it started off and then grew from there. Understand that. So when I fast forward and look at what you both have done with Aventus, and going through all the information, I'm sitting here and scratching my, how did you pick that use case? How did it come from the background that you guys did, right? Machine learning and particle physics, and then say, ticketing fraud is the right thing. I mean, that is like a gigantic gap there. And in retrospect, again, the same way, it looks brilliant, right? And you have this whole protocol. It just makes a lot of sense when you look back. But looking forward, how did you guys find that?
Yeah,
I think we're really going to give a lot of credit to Professor William Lottenbelt, the director of the Cryptocurrency Research and Engineering Center at Imperial. So he's really who started us properly down this route. And he had the connections with a lot of people in entertainment who were looking at stuff. And when he gave us, or me in particular, the various sort of options for my master's thesis, I really thought that the film stuff was of particular interest and the properties applied really well. So that's where it started. But then maybe you can how it evolved from there.
Yeah, after his thesis, we were like, look, let's try and turn this into a business. And, the film rights thing, I mean, we were just so early and people didn't know what Bitcoin was, let alone blockchain, you know? So to explain it like that, it was just too much and people weren't getting their heads around it. They didn't see the value. It ended up being a problem. Yeah, so, you know, after Alan's thesis, we decided to turn it into a business and we decided to generalize it a bit and make it kind of general film and music streaming. And when we were trying to get into the market, it was really difficult because people didn't know what Bitcoin was, let alone blockchain. So to explain all of that and then explain smart contracts, it was like, you know, an hour in, they still had no idea what was going on. And yeah, I mean, it ended up being quite a big legal problem ultimately. And what we realized when we were doing our market research was live music was such a huge market and it was growing. And actually the revenue for artists from streaming was going down because of, you know, these big platforms and stuff like that, that have weird ways of distributing revenue per stream. And so ultimately we moved over to live and we realized, wow, you know, we'd suffered problems from counterfeit tickets, touted tickets, you know, on sales closing out in like a minute and not having any access to tickets. And we saw, wow, this is such a perfect use case for the blockchain, for a public blockchain especially. And that's how we started down that route, really.
And the genius of your approach was that the vision or the way you looked at it, like, you know, like the doctor looks at an x-ray and sees things that we don't see, kind of a thing. So you both saw that, hey, we can look at these tickets and look at them as a transient currency. It's a currency that's created for an event and then it vanishes after that. So I thought that was like a wow moment for me as I was going through your information. Is that kind of how you guys connected cryptocurrencies to ticket sales? And you said this is kind of like a currency, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I think how it really started is Annika and I sat for weeks on end in a room at Imperial. So we'd both just done our master's thesis, so we had our academic heads on, right? So we were sitting there analyzing the market fundamentally, trying to draw back onto the abstraction of what a ticket really is. And we came to the conclusion that all you're really doing is it's a market around permission management, and the permission is the right to access the venue. And building on that and looking at the various problems, we just really approached it as a research task. So we didn't have any industry-specific knowledge. We weren't from the ticketing industry, so it gave us the ability to look at it with a fresh set of eyes. Now, this wasn't all good. This let us obviously solve various problems, but also at times we made mistakes from just fundamentally misunderstanding how the industry worked. It really was a process of refining with experts and various people who've joined our company over time to really get it perfect.
That's fantastic. So if we can now have you lay out the events that have happened over the past 6 months in terms of your progress, and maybe you could deconstruct it along technology lines. How has the technology development, the team, and then the business community, how have these progressed so far? And then along the way, you could probably give us stories about use cases that you have seen happen in your space.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, so after our sale in September, we started growing the team. This is mainly tech. So we're about 25 people in total now. Mainly in the UK, but now we're starting out in the US. Some big announcements coming soon that we can't really say, but they're, you know, they're being papered right now. And basically what we did is we grew out the tech team, with blockchain team, front end team, back end team, grew those out, started building the protocol, and then some of the middleware on top, because as you know, we're B2B all the way through. That's something really different about our approach compared to everyone else in the market, because you know us now. We're tech and academics. We're not ticketing people, and we don't want to be arrogant and assume we know about ticketing. We know we can build the software and the bridge to the blockchain really well for ticketing companies. So we started building out the software teams to build these middlewares, build the protocol. Protocol mainnet release was yesterday. So we actually have our live V1 protocol on the mainnet. And we've got our marketing team being built up. We've had a few private trials over the time with one of our clients, for example, using our products. Like Townsend Music. And, you know, we have quite a few trials now coming in the summer as well with this live network. We have our centralized scaling solution finished and tested and ready to go. And now we're moving to a more decentralized scaling solution. And yeah, we have some pretty big announcements for some big allocations we're going to be doing really soon. And we're super excited to share it. So it's really progressed nicely.
Your mainnet was released yesterday, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. This is like a major moment this is like a history-making moment, to be honest with you guys. This is probably something you've been working on for months. And this congratulations. And is this the first podcast you guys are doing after the mainnet release?
Yeah, you've got the exclusive.
I didn't know Kryptonite was so lucky that we got you guys on board. It's probably going to sell out episode. It's
great. No, the timing worked out perfectly. Reddit's been very happy with everything so far.
Awesome.
Testing and using it on the mainnet, and everything seems to be running very smoothly right now. So we're really happy about it.
Well, then let's lay it out thick about the mainnet and what people can look forward to doing from here on forward. And let's make this an FAQ podcast, the most revisited podcast that you guys have.
Yeah, awesome.
Sorry, there's just a bit of
All right. So tell us about the mainnet release. What are the implications of that? What can we look forward to?
Yeah. So the first things we'll be doing, we're doing a lot of sort of private proof of concepts right now that we're not going to be talking about very publicly, but everybody will be able to see the sort of traffic going on within the network itself. And slowly but surely, we'll be releasing various apps and decentralized applications so that people can interact in a more user-friendly way with these smart contracts. We have our first major show. We'll be doing a really big allocation of tickets with the on-sale happening now in August. So that's probably the biggest, most exciting thing that we'll be sort of publicly announcing in the next few weeks for people to see this protocol really take effect and show its power in the industry.
But yeah, I mean, the use cases we have today in our protocol, you know, as an AVT holder, what you can do is you can vote on changes to the protocol. So in an advisory capacity, you can say like, oh, this pull request was really good. I think you guys need this feature. There's some problems with this, the gas cost too high, whatever it is. You can take part in voting and proposing changes, so that it's a lot more decentralized. And then, the second thing you can do is you can vote on the legitimacy of events. As you probably know, with this network, with this baseline protocol, if anyone can be adding direct to command line, you don't know whether they're a human, machine, a group, whoever, can create events. They spam up the network. They make us look bad. If there are sales channels that are pulling inventory from the protocol, they start losing customers because they're selling tickets to Justin Bieber's playing in my basement when he's not. So we have this whole due diligence mechanism around the events, and that has been released. That's going. There's going to be a dApp coming out soon, and AVT holders can start interacting with these events and starting to perform due diligence on the network. And that's kind of our vision for the coin. It's that due diligence mechanism for the industry, for the entertainment industry.
But I mean, not just that. That's on the sort of governance and the voting side of the protocol, obviously. To be able to do those things, what people are able to do is sort of create events, set up the tickets associated with those events, and start selling them. And then obviously on the other end, be able to sort of redeem them in whatever access control solution they have at the door for the venue. So basically everything to do all the way around, even on the secondary market, we have the ability for people to whitelist the participants that they're happy with, and kind of blacklist others that they wouldn't like to get involved in the space.
Got it. So can we talk a little bit about, is it an event organizer that would be interested in coming and setting up the event on Aventus?
So it depends. Like the way, so obviously we've built our middleware with scaling solutions. We handle all the gas costs. You know, we basically have this thin layer on top that exposes REST APIs to ticketing companies. The way our commercial entity Autos targets is promoters. So you can kind of event organizers, but mainly ticketing companies. So primary agents and letting them set up their inventory via the protocol. You can, of course, come direct to protocol and sidetrack everything. As an event organizer, we've had interest from like university students, for example, for hosting some of their events, etc. They just want to come direct to protocol, maybe through a dApp. They can do that too.
But really, what the Aventus protocol is aimed at being is it's the backbone that sits behind the whole supply chain in the events industry. So there's value that can be added to anybody along the chain. So be it the artist wants to go direct to fan in a more secure and convenient manner, that's something that has a lot of popularity. If it's the promoter who's putting on the event, dealing with the venue, they are able to control their inventory and can create operational oversight as it moves sort of through the supply chain. The primary agents have various ways of distributing their tickets in a more sort of decentralized sort of a dissemination of ticket sales approach. The secondary guys also have more control over how the ticketing inventory is dealt with. And finally, when we get to access control at the venue, we have abilities to do crypto tickets where you've now got maybe a stronger identity component associated with the ticket if that's what you're looking for, or at least completely getting rid of any ability to counterfeit tickets and make the whole event going experience better for the consumer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that was explained really well, because ultimately we really don't want to be opinionated about how people work in the industry. We don't want to say like, oh, no touting, no secondary, you know, like that's not our business. We just want to give you the tools to control the market and exert whatever rules you want around your inventory. We don't care what those rules are. We just help you implement them.
Yeah, that's why you're a protocol. And you do the fundamentals that are necessary to say, this event is real, these tickets are real kind of a thing. And
correct.
That's huge in itself. So the promotion, the selling of the tickets, et cetera, you're leaving it to the ticketing agencies themselves, correct? So you're not involved
correct.
In that.
We will never be B2C. So we don't want to compete with the existing industry on taking up ticketing inventory or having a monopoly on that data. We're really the plumbing, the AWS of ticketing, if you might, to help facilitate the industry and give them this new technology to leverage and ultimately give a better experience to the artists, their clients, and the fans attending the shows.
What we do though, as part of the protocol on the marketing and distribution side, is we've built nice tools that people can leverage to distribute their tickets in new ways. Maybe you can, like, it's much easier to set up a sales channel now, pull tickets from the protocol, obey the rules, and start distributing tickets. So think a news outlet, a blog, a YouTube video, an influencer, all of these people could be ticket distributors. And because some of these new types of distribution have such targeted demographics, you can now reach a much more targeted audience with your event. And so providing those tools and letting people leverage these kind of new internet age way of doing things is something that we intend to do. But like Alan said, never actually get involved and sell tickets ourselves.
So if a ticketing agency is looking at Eventus, what would be the motivators? Why should they sign on to Eventus immediately? What are the benefits?
Yeah, so we have sort of three core areas that we would typically say to any sort of primary agent or promoter. So number one is control and operational oversight on your inventory. So what this means is you can now enforce whatever rules you like. You're essentially putting your tickets up in this pool of inventory that anybody can tap into. You're setting up your rules layer with the smart contracts facilitated by the Eventus protocol. So let's say you can only resell your ticket for 10% above face value, any kind of restrictions they can imagine on that front. And then they let this pool go, and either they can manually choose who the sales channels are, as the industry does today, or they can even have a component, and this has been interesting to some of the biggest players in the industry we've spoken to, where they just open it up and anybody can do ticket sales from that allocation, but obviously adhering to the rules that they originally set. So that's the first sort of core value add around control and operational transparency. The second one is data. So data, just making sure that they know every single person who touches their tickets as it switches hands. Exactly who that person is, when they receive the ticket, to make sure that they are actually legitimately interested and a better way of marketing to them. And finally, there are obviously interesting ways of financing different events and shows using the blockchain, given interesting models around sort of fan clubs or any of the sort of scarcity represented and the sort of factors that people don't want to miss out on in events.
How about the buyer of the tickets? Are there benefits for them?
For sure. Data monetization, I mean, in each of those points, they benefit. So in terms of the control, the ticket buyer themselves now has a transparent understanding of what the rules associated with that ticket are. Because one of the biggest problems now is you buy a ticket, it has these terms and conditions you don't even know about. Suddenly you don't have the ticket anymore and you're wondering why, and you have to read a 10-page document. The rules here are ingrained into the ticket itself. So you always know what's happening. The second thing is, artist direct to fan, for example, or these fan club models, you get rewards for helping out the artist or promoting the event. Maybe you get a free ticket because you invited 10 other people to come, whatever it is. And the third thing is the data monetization side of things. Every time that switches hands and the promoter gets more data, they can request data from you, but you can sell it back to them. We don't want it to be them pulling things and it being completely almost monopolistic in corporate versus consumer. We want the consumer to also benefit from the value they're adding to the corporations and their ability to let them target people better from your data.
And who else? Are there any other ecosystem players that benefit from the model?
Yeah, so I mean, this would really help. Obviously, the artists, they can have better ways of engaging with their fans. The promoters have better ways of controlling their inventory, and the primary players have better ways of letting their inventory flow and seeing exactly what is happening with it. It's also helpful for venues because they, again, can enforce more of the kind of rules associated with the tickets and just have greater oversight. It's more efficiency because nowadays what... There's actually a funny story with how some of the promoters at the venues and stuff work. So what they'll do is half the time they're sending around Excel spreadsheets if they're advanced. If not, we heard of some of the players faxing each other allocations and tickets, and they'll get it like midnight the night before. Everybody will work for 6 hours before the show, kind of. Everybody shows up the next day in the evening. So it's really a bit of a mess on that front, and that can help on that side as well. And then obviously the secondary players can also have more control and tighter restrictions, making sure they know exactly what the rules for those tickets are.
Great, got it. So now that we understand all of that, and I think the fact that the mainnet has just been released means that you have not necessarily onboarded your first set of clients yet.
We have. We've done a lot of private trials and stuff, mainly on the testnets. So it the behavior is almost the same as the mainnet, except it costs less. But yes, correct. Like for a proper on sale on the public mainnet, we have not actually done anything yet, but some private trials are coming up and people will be able to track that activity on the protocol and the smart contracts on Etherscan.
So literally you're open for business now and people could start onboarding.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's super exciting. Yeah. And how does Eventus make money? How do token holders make? I mean, I'm talking about the business model. I'm not talking about any predictions here. I'm just talking about what is a model.
Yeah. So one thing that's super key in our design of the token is if you want to benefit from the utility of the network, you must interact with it and give it utility. So if you want rewards from the network, you have to promote events. You have to vote and take part in the due diligence process around events. You have to advise on the protocol. You know, you have to take part in the network. In terms of the business model for the Protocol Foundation, we're a nonprofit through and through. We don't intend to take any revenue or take any revenue from the protocol activity itself. Just open source. We help fund businesses building on the protocol and developing the ecosystem. Our commercial entity that we also work with called Artos, the business model there is because, you know, it's that IaaS, infrastructure as a service or software as a service. We really want to be that AWS. So we charge based on usage. So there's no ticket sales. It's not per ticket. It's per API request. So that's kind of how we price. And that's our business model on that side of things.
The thing to understand with Artos on that front is it's the bridge to blockchain. What we're really trying to do is deal with some of the shortcomings that make it not commercially viable today. So, for example, scaling, we all know that's a big problem. And for an on-sale, we'll be doing 150,000 tickets allocation to something like that that sells out in 10 minutes maybe. You need to be able to handle much higher scale than it currently can. So that's the kind of services and the wrappers and the value adds we provide and monetize on the commercial side. Another example would be the Forex risk associated with tokens. A lot of the sort of public companies that we're dealing with don't want to hold any tokens. So we bill them in just sort of standard fiat currencies. And then we internally take care of the kind of forex risk and exposure that goes with the difference of the cryptocurrencies needed to interact with the network.
Got it. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is it looks like somebody who's a frequent attendee to various types of events that are on Eventus would be the kind of person that should consider owning AVT, for example?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for us, we think that part of our thesis with the protocol is the fan should be a much more important part of the supply chain. They should have a lot more monetization opportunities. They should be able to take part in the formation of these events and the marketing of these events, for example, by taking part in the due diligence. You know, it's not fair that sometimes fans get ripped off by an event not happening last minute and them not getting their refunds for their tickets back. when maybe they knew from the beginning that it looked like a slightly dodgy event. They should be able to take part in that, and they should be able to help secure, you know, the industry from those kinds of fraudulent people.
But also, to your sort of point there, we do so as it stands, the industry is not particularly willing to accept sort of cryptocurrencies for payments for tickets, for example. So currently what we're doing is everything off-chain with the payment service provider component, but as the market sort of matures, the protocol is designed to handle ticket sales being in our token, ABT. So obviously that's a good reason to get involved, but also any other ERC-20 token or Ether, because we really want Aventus to be a platform and an infrastructure that others want to build on, specifically even other blockchain companies. So we try and keep it open on that front as to what exactly is used as the medium of exchange.
Yeah, but actually what's also worth mentioning is for some of our big scale proof of concepts this summer, we're going to be doing an allocation in ABT. So you will be able to buy tickets as an ABT holder with ABT. You'll get discounts, you'll get rewards. It'll be awesome.
And are the individual event-related tickets themselves ERC-20 tokens, or how are the individual tickets for a specific event?
Yeah.
So currently we represent them more abstractly because we don't want them to trade on any of the exchanges as it stands. In the future, what it will be is probably a combination. ERC-20 is probably not ideal because we need a sort of degree of fungibility to the tickets. We need to know which one's which. So I think it's ERC-721. That is the sort of more fungible tokens, and that's the design that we'll be going for moving forward. But there'll always be an option. Like we mentioned, we provide a tool set to people to use as they see fit. So that tool set itself, they can choose to use the sort of standard, or they can just use it in the more abstract form that we currently have and avoid the trading on any exchange.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, which is the reason why you call yourself a protocol rather than a DApp. So because you're kind of allowing all of these ticketing agencies to come on board, plug in, and actually, in a sense, roll out their own transient tokens, if I might use a word. So these have a beginning and an ending in a short time frame. I'm imagining it when the event ends, those tokens are gone and redeemed. And also returns, are you allowing returns? Refunds?
Of course. We give the tools to allow that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant, do you give tools to allow that? Yeah.
Sorry. Oh yeah. Yeah. No worries. Yeah. No, for sure. And you know, we're really keen on the ERC-721, making that work with the tickets. And you know, using like what Polymath did for securitized ERC-20 tokens. You know, something very similar for ERC-721, so that actually even maybe exchanges could start listing tickets and under certain rules. You know, facilitate trading of these tickets. So that's definitely something that's coming for this first version. We're keeping it fairly simple and not implementing that. But as the appetite grows, that's going to come.
But for sort of returns, as you were mentioning there, that's difficult today when obviously we have the traditional payment service provider component there and they do returns in the standard way. But obviously as more and more of this moves on chain, there'll be a much greater degree of control over sort of sending their money back, escrowing it, depending on the risk profile of the promoter and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so let's talk to a ticketing company. So do they need to have technology skills around? Do they have to be a bunch of geeks to be able to use Aventus? Or what kind of interface are you providing to them? Do they need to now hire an IT team?
Well, it depends how they want to approach the protocol. If they want to go direct to protocol, yeah, it'll be difficult. You know, they'll need to know how to interact with smart contracts, deal with gas, deal with the Forex exposure, scaling, et cetera, et cetera. If they come through a commercial entity, Autos, they'll need some basic web development skills to integrate our APIs into their kind of e-commerce front end. But we also have like white label apps and stuff for like the ticket wallet. That will probably open source as well, that they can just use and put their content on, and they don't even need like necessarily mobile development for ticket access. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's basic API calls, so basic web dev that they would need to integrate this for sure.
It's like your equivalent of the iPhone App Store. You have an App Store with pre-built apps that can be pulled together to launch their own event.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a combination of APIs and white label sort of software solutions that they can use and brand in the ways that they see fit. We try and make it as easy as possible to integrate this very sort of technical space.
Yeah, one thing we just make sure to stay away from is we don't want to be building even white label e-commerce platforms. You know, people need their own one like that. You know, you need your own like ticket marketplace or whatever. We can recommend partners who provide these things, but we don't ourselves.
So as a ticketing company, I could either do everything myself by just going directly onto Eventis platform or come to Autos and say, hey, I don't want to do any of this. Can you do it for me?
Exactly.
Consulting arrangement. I understand that. That's phenomenal. I'm glad you thought way ahead about that.
And then, yeah, I mean, when we started approaching the industry, it really became clear that there was that problem. And I think that problem actually exists in blockchain, not just in ticketing, but across the various protocols, because we have some amazing stuff happening on the protocol level, but there's a definite disconnect between what is commercially viable right now and what is actually being created on the blockchain. And we call that gap. That's why we branded Autos as the bridge to blockchain, because it's really getting over that gap, not just for the Eventis protocol, but also others in the future.
Got it. I think, yeah, fundamentally, that's a great idea. So are there other points you wanted to tell our listeners that are important? Maybe I did not ask all the questions you wanted me to.
No, I think, first of all, your questions were really good. So awesome time speaking to you on this podcast. But look, just to listeners out there who are interested, please join our communities, join our Telegram, you know, follow us on Twitter, join our Reddit. And we've got guys talking on there all the time. We talk on there a lot. We do AMAs and all kinds of things like that. So if you have any questions, we would love to have a chat with you and talk to you about what we're doing. And if you want to get involved in any way, either as a network participant, a developer, join the team, please reach out.
And what is your website? What is your Telegram ID?
Yep. So our website is just eventis.io or autos.io if you're looking for that side of things. And then I believe Telegram is just at Eventis PF, so for Protocol Foundation.
Fantastic. Well, we are just super excited that this was a history in the making moment in the life of your business, and certainly wish you the very best. And I hope people, you know, I request all the listeners, don't just listen to this, share this with all your fellow people that are interested in events. I think that's a big thing. As you said, the trend is upwards in that area, and they're all connected to each other. So I think there's a great opportunity for people to get involved and do what blockchain does best. It gives the power to the people to influence and shape this entire space. And Alan and Anika, you guys are doing a phenomenal job of making this happen for people from multiple angles. You're in many ways a great innovator in the space, and we certainly wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much. It was great talking. Thanks for having us on your show.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Good luck to you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.